So that, yeah, so.
It's just my parents. It's just Chaim's parents. Sat Shmai, we've made it to the last year of the Tafshin Ayin Aleph, Tafshin Ayin Bey season. And I want to start just by thanking the various people who make these shiurim happen throughout the year. First and foremost, of course, to Rabbi Brzezinski and B'nai Shurin for very graciously hosting this year every week. I'd also like to thank TABC for encouraging and partially sponsoring this year. And of course, last but certainly not least, to thank all the people who come every week. Those of you who are here for the first time, we thank you for coming as well. And the many people who listen to the recordings. You know, I consider myself very lucky to have the opportunity to teach Torah every day, but definitely one of the highlights of my week is this Thursday night cheer. And I greatly appreciate everyone who takes time out of their busy schedule to spend time with me. You know, Baruch Hashem, last year when we made it to the final shiur, I kind of recapped some of the shiur and we discussed over the year. And as I sat down with my computer, because I hardly remember, unfortunately, everything we learned, and I started to just review some of the topics that we studied together this past year. You know, it's a big accomplishment, especially, again, for those of us who have been following throughout. We spoke about great people this year, like the shiur on Rashi, we had a shiur on Rav Meir Balanes. We spoke about great places, Yerushalayim, the centrality of Yerushalayim. We spoke about Olam Haba. We spoke about mathematical things and shapes and sizes, the shiur about shapes and big letters, small letters. We spoke about the Torah itself. Most recently, Torah Shebichsav, Torah Sheval Pev. Once upon a time, for those who remember, maybe Parshas Noach. We spoke about how everything is found in the Torah. And, you know, many other topics along the way, from shuckling to Yirah Shemayim to Aveir Lishma, and so many other topics. And Baruch Hashem, we've learned a lot of different things. But tonight I want to try to be Messiah in the season, so to speak, but something that I think is very, very basic, something that we all know about, and something that always needs a little refreshing and a little strengthening it. Now the Ramchal, in source number one in the Mesilas Yesharim, Ramchal in his introduction to the Mesilas Yesharim describes and he laments the fact that sometimes there are very basic things that everyone knows about, that everyone would agree that they're important. And yet somehow, for whatever reason, because it's so obvious and because it's so simple, we stop thinking about it. Ramchal writes, I'm not going to read the whole passage, I'll read just a couple lines where it's bolded. Amar Machaber, Hachibur Azel lo chibarti l'amid livnei adam asasher lo yada'u. I didn't write the Mesilas Yesharim to tell you chidushim. He says, you're going to read through this sefer and you're going to find that I know all these things. These are not original insights into what it means to be a spiritual person. But the Ramchal continues where it's bolded. The danger that exists is what? Elishikafi rov pirsumam ukenegin masha shamitasam galuya lakol, to the extent that they're so obvious and so evident to everyone, to the extent that they're so true, we forget about it. The forgetfulness sets in, and the lack of awareness, the lack of thoughtfulness when it comes to these matters sets in. And he goes on to describe how people spend so much time doing so many different things. We pursue different types of wisdom, we pursue different types of career paths. And yet, for some reason, again, where it's bolded, he complains, Ach ma'atim yiyu min ha-min hazeh. Unfortunately, of all of mankind, there are so few. Asher yikvau iyun v'limir al inyanei shleimus avoda. People who talk about what it means to be a complete person, to be a spiritually complete person. Al ha'av, al ha'yira, al ha'dveikus, love of God, fear of God, clinging to God. V'alkol shar chalkei ha'chasidus, and all the other aspects of what it means to be a pious person, to be a righteous person. And the Ramchal concludes his hakdama with very strong words. We'll look at the final lines. Mana aneb yom tochecha, im esrashalnu min ha'iyun hazeh, v'inachnu davar shu kol kach muta aleinu, shu ikir ma'ashem elokeinu shom imanu. What are we going to say to God when we come before Him after 120 years, God willing? And we take something that was so important, the most basic thing that He demands from us, and we've never stopped to think about it. What's our response going to be? We've allowed it to just be something that we study by rote in a very passive kind of way. Is it possible that we put our mind into analyzing things that there's no expectation that we analyze? And to study things that don't produce any fruit, that have no practical ramification in our lives, v'dinim asher einam shaychem lanu, halachos that are completely irrelevant in our times, u'mashachayavim anu liboreinu, and the basic decency that we require that we owe to our Creator, to think about Him. This great obligation, we allow it to just be something we do so passively. How could that be? And we just do it by rote. We allow it to just happen on its own without stopping to think about it. Important things can be forgotten. And there's a danger that exists. Hergel is a very dangerous thing. Being able to fall into a certain pattern of life where we stop thinking about important things is very dangerous. Rav Yechiel Michal Tchikachinsky, in his Gesher HaChaim, tells a story about someone he knew in Yerushalayim, a doctor in Yerushalayim, well-known doctor in Yerushalayim, who was called to some of the most fiercest battles during World War I. And when he returned to Yerushalayim in 1918, Rav Tchikachinsky sat and he was speaking to him and he said, "Tell me, what was it like?" He was describing to him the great danger he was in throughout the war. He says, "Tell me, what were you thinking when you were crouched in those trenches with bullets whizzing past your head? What was going through your mind?" So he says, "I'll tell you, the first time I had to duck down to dive into one of these trenches, and I hid for cover, and I literally heard the bullets whizzing above my head." He says, "The first time that happened, I said Shema Yisrael, and I said Vidui with my eyes closed, like I thought this was it. I thought this could be it. There were people dying, dropping all around me." He says, "I survived." He says, "The second time it happened, I still said Vidui with a lot of Kavana, but it wasn't like the first time." He said, "By the third and fourth time, I was hardly saying it. And by the fifth time, by the final battles, and the casualty numbers were rising all around me." He says, "But I was so confident at that point that I would survive." A person could be in the most dangerous of situations. A person could be in the most challenging of situations. And he could be desperately in need of Rabbono Shalom's protection. And yet, we get used to it. We take it for granted. We don't stop to think about it. What I'd like to talk about tonight is the centrality of the Rabbono Shalom in our lives. Again, it's my shir, so to speak, my shloshim offering to tribute to Chaim Yisachar. And I hope our words will do justice to the message that he tried to give to us. The parsha describes the Shvatim. It begins by telling us how many members were part of each Shevet and how they camped. And Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky asks after describing again this pattern of the Shvatim and they're arranged in an order, he asks a very simple question. The Jews left Mitzrayim over a year ago. Why was it for an entire year God decided not to arrange the camp? And now all of a sudden in the second year Hashem decides it's time to start organizing Klal Yisrael? He asks in source number 2 in the third line, "V'amayim tinu milisadres the golem shana tmima atma." Why would Hashem wait an entire year before deciding to start organizing Klal Yisrael? And he answers in a very beautiful way. He says the Degalim, each Shevet with his flag, or each group of Shvatim with their flag, with its color and its style and its certain ideas and methodologies of what it meant to be a Jew. Right? Each of these divisions, so to speak, could cause a tremendous separation in Klal Yisrael. And if you don't have something to unify Klal Yisrael, if you don't have something to pull it all together, then there's a great danger by allowing everyone to wave their own flag. Writes of Yaakov Kamenetsky, where it's bolded, "V'nimtza ki lechora ha'degolim garmu lepirat alavavos." The flags allowed, these different groupings, allowed for a separation, a division of the heart. "Ela mikev anshayi lekula merkaz echad." But once they had a mishkan, once they had something in the middle, pulling them all together, "V'haynu ha'mishkan, v'kulam chona misaviv la'mishkan." And all of religious life was centered around that mishkan. When you have that central point, "Ein ze gorm lepirat, ela kol echad omer al mishmarto." Then each person could go and find his path, his way. That's something we spoke about earlier this year also. Many ways to one Rabbono Shalom. But if you don't have that spiritual stronghold, if you don't have that focal point pulling you together, keeping you well grounded, so then there's a great danger of each person doing his own thing. Says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Mishkan was that centerpiece in the life of Klal Yisrael. Chafetz Chaim, in a related passage, quotes a different pasuk, also in this week's parsha. And he takes this idea of Mishkan one step further. Because what does Mishkan represent? Was it a building? What was it? Says the Chafetz Chaim in source number 3, "V'nasa o amoid machane ha'levim b'socha machanos." Right? Shevet Levi traveled b'socha machanos, in the center of the camp. Says the Chafetz Chaim, "Mikevan sha'atorah munachas ba'aron sheba'o amoid." Since the Torah resided within the Aron, which was within the Mishkan itself, "Tzaricha o'amoi lios tamid b'socha machanos." You need to make sure that the Torah stays at the center. The Mishkan, what does the Mishkan represent? Says the Chafetz Chaim, Mishkan represents Torah. The Torah has to stay the focal point, the center of our lives. And says the Chafetz Chaim, where it's bolded, "V'akol tzrichim l'sracheiz misaviva v'hi b'soch." The Torah has to be in the middle. He says, just like the Eitz HaChaim was b'soch ha'gan in Gan Eden, smack in the middle, whether it's the Mishkan, whether it's the Torah, it's the Eitz HaChaim, there has to be that central point upon which life revolves around. And he concludes his words by comparing it to the heart within man. If the source of man's existence is his heart, which resides at the center of his being, the heart's in the middle of the body, and it sends forth life to what? The heart pumps forth life to everything around it. So the Mishkan is our center. The Torah is our center. The heart of man, which is compared to both the Mishkan and the Torah, is the center of man's guf. And it breathes forth life to everything around it. Now, this idea of the Mishkan being our heart, so to speak, it shouldn't sound like a new idea to us. You go back to the moment when the Mishkan, the idea of the Mishkan, was first implanted within the hearts of Klal Yisrael. The Torah tells us in source number 4, Va'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socha. Hashem says, make me a mikdash, make me a Mishkan, and I will dwell b'socham. And Chazal point out, it's a question, it's a medrash, it's an alshech, certainly it's an alshech, and he's certainly an early source we can rely on. The alshech HaKadosh points out, it doesn't say v'shachanti b'socho, and I will dwell within it, within the confines of that physical building, but v'shachanti b'socham, I will dwell within them. Says the alshech HaKadosh in source number 5, Va'od yitachi in derech sheni bebira ksuvim. V'ubishum leiv al omro v'shachanti b'socham. V'lo amar b'socham. It says, I will dwell within them, not within it. V'hu ki hinei shamati lom demikan. He says, I've heard. Again, maybe it's a chazal, maybe it's a medrash. Ki ikir hashras hashchina ba'adam hu v'lo b'bayis. Hashem wants to dwell within us, and not just within, again, that physical structure. So if I were to ask you, where does Hashem want to live within us? Hashem wants to place His presence within us. Where would that take place? I think the answer would be within our hearts. Right? That very center which corresponds to the Mishkan, as we saw from the other sources. Hashem wants to dwell within our hearts. Some Mefarshim even quote this Alshech. Ma'ana Shel Torah brings this Alshech and says, that's some additions, maybe the Alshech even said it openly, that Hashem wants to dwell b'socham, means within the hearts, within the heart of every single Jew on planet Earth. So again, we've seen this connection, the Mishkan, the Torah, the Eitz Hadas, the Eitz HaChayim, rather, b'socha gan, and the heart of man. Again, all working together in this beautiful fashion. Now, if I were to ask you, what organ, I'm talking about the heart, now what organ within man is the most important organ? So you'd say the heart. You could argue maybe the mind, the intellect, right? One's brain is central to one's existence, and certainly we can make a case for such a thing. And this, in fact, was a big machlokus between the Rambam and some of the early Mekubalim. What's the most important part within man? Is it my mind? Is it my intellect? Is it developing my wisdom? Is that really what it's all about? Or is it more of the emotional center of man's existence, his lev? Right, so Shlomo Fisher, in source number 7, the Drashos Beis Yishai, Das HaRambam, the opinion of the Rambam, He she'ikir ha'adam u'asecha, the essence of man, the most important aspect within man is his mind. V'chol ma'gamaso v'shi'ifaso shel ha'adam tzrichim lios la'agil l'shleimus ha'sichlis. And the goal of man is to develop his intellect as best he can. This certainly sounds like the Rambam as we know it. But continues of Shlomo Fisher in the third line, Masha ain't kein a mikubalim. The mikubalim are so from there of the opinion, she'ikir ha'adam hu alev. The ikir ha'tachlis hi shleimus alev. But the mikubalim disagree and say that the lev is the center of man, and that becomes the most important organ within man. Says Rav Shlomo Fisher, if you look in the Gemara, if you look even in the Zohar and Kabbalistic sources, they all describe the head of man as the Melech. So it seems that everyone would seem to agree that the mind reigns supreme. Says Rav Shlomo Fisher, not necessarily. He says, if a nation wants to declare a king, there's no question the king will be the most honored person of that nation. But what's the cause and what's the effect? What's the tachlis? And what comes from it? The tachlis is that there's a nation. The goal is that we should have a nation. In order to have a nation, we appoint a king. Right? But it's not that we want to have a king and therefore let's create a nation. So says Rav Shlomo Fisher, the heart, ein hachanami, the mind is given a certain prestige, a certain kavod. It's placed for a reason. God placed it at the top of man's body. But there's something about the heart that's really the driving force behind it. That's really the tachlis of man. The heart within the center of man. So what mitzvah, if we were to ask ourselves, what mitzvah corresponds to the heart? We made this link, the Torah and the heart are linked, they're both central. But the heart is a single organ and the Torah has many facets to it. If we had to identify one aspect of what it means to be a Yid, what it means to be a serious Jew, and identify what aspect of Avodas Hashem, what aspect of Torah corresponds to the heart within man? Okay, could be. I'll show you something else. The Arizitter always has good things to add. But I'll suggest something else. I think it's the thing that we waited nearly 2,500 years to hear. We heard 3,000 years ago the words of the Rabbanu Shalom, the first three words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ever said to the Jewish people. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. The mitzvah of Emunah. The mitzvah where HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls upon man to believe that every single thing that happens in this world, whether we like it or not, the difficult things, the good things, every single thing that happens in this world is guided by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That has to be the spiritual center. That has to be our Mishkan. And that has to be our leif. And the Marsha says so explicitly. If you look in source number 8, the Marsha in Maseches Makos describes God as the heart of man. Uvipsikta. The Medrash says, Ani yishena v'libi er. I am asleep, but my heart is still awake. Says the Medrash, Zeh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar b'chiyah bar Abba, minayin shaKadosh Baruch Hu liban shaYisrael. How do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, so to speak, the heart of the Jewish people? Shenamar tzur levavi v'chelki elokim. HaKavana b'zeh explains the Marsha. Ki kol ramach evarim neged hasiyim. There are 248 limbs and there are 248 mitzvahs haseh. How do I align each organ with its corresponding mitzvah? How do you figure that out? Says the Marsha, I'm not going to give you all 248, but there's one that I can tell you with a lot of confidence. The Eiver Halev Neger Asei Shal Anochi. The heart corresponds to those words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the mitzvah to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kemo Sha'alev Hu Shoresh Shal Kol Ramach Eivarim V'Chiyusam. Just as the heart is the physical command center for the entire body and all the 248 organs, Kein Hi Mitzvah Sa'amuna, so too the mitzvah Amuna. Hi Klal Hu Makor Shal Ramach Ha'asiyin Sh'shamanu Ipiyagvor. That becomes the backbone, that becomes the basis for all mitzvahs. When we heard those words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, what happened? We waited so long, the whole world waited so long to hear those words. What happened at the moment we heard those words? I'll bring a proof that I think could be added beautifully to this Marsha. In Shir HaShirim Rabba, the Medrash tells us, in source number 9, Bisha Sheshamu Yisrael Anochi Hashem Elokecha, at the moment the Jews heard those few precious words, there's few precious words from the Rabbonu Shalom. Nitzka Talmud Torah Beliba. Torah became etched into the hearts of the Jewish people. Why does the Medrash say that our hearts were impacted more so than any other part of our body? Presumably it was Har Sinai was a full body experience. You felt it through every fiber of your being. Why does it say that when we heard Anochi Hashem Elokecha, we felt it in our hearts? Because that's exactly what the Marsha is saying. If you understand what the mitzvah of Emunah is, if you understand what a Jewish heart is supposed to be, you understand the center of what it means to be, again, be a religious person. Now you understand very well why these different pieces of our puzzle come together. With this, we come to Chaim. We come to talk about Chaim Yisachar. Anyone who knew Chaim knew that he was a person of tremendous heart. I'm not just talking about, you know, after he was sick. Right? A lot of us saw a different aspect of his heart. Throughout his life, Chaim was a person who had such a big heart. So full of love, so full of excitement for life. And unfortunately, after he got sick, we saw his heart in a different way. He started to develop his heart, this heart, the Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the Emunah heart, so to speak. Right, that again resides at the core of man. And just like the heart tries to spread forth, it pumps forth blood, it pumps forth life to the other organs, so too the mitzvah of Emunah, which Chaim tried to spread to as far as he could, to try to pump it forth out into the world, to spread this teaching of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem your God. And that became the backbone of who Chaim was. Now some people, definitely heard some people complain, I don't know if complain is the right word. And, you know, we became so caught up in this world of Chaim for the last 18 months that you forget a little bit who he was before then. And not to say that all of these feelings and all of these spiritual passion was not to be found there, right, but as Chaim's father said many times at the Shiva, you know, sometimes you saw us such godless that you forgot the fun-loving side of Chaim. So I was sitting at the Shiva house reading through the emails. Someone printed up all of the emails that Chaim had been writing these past months. And one of my favorite emails, one that really stuck out to me, because it summed up the depth of Chaim's character and also his desire to make other people smile, was an email that I put in the sources tonight, source number 10. A little note, as Chaim called it, from February 16th, 2012. Hey everyone. Today in the hospital, someone gave me such a beautiful compliment. I just had to share. She said, Mark, you have a really beautiful heart. You have a beautiful heart. Granted, she was doing an echocardiogram on me, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Kishavis could pour him Chaim Yisachar, Mark Stephen. Right? To see the way that Chaim understood how his heart was becoming beautified, and the way that every person who came into contact with him, the people who knew him as Chaim and the people who knew him as Mark Stephen. But I would suggest that as much as the doctors maybe saw the beautiful physical heart of Mark Stephen, I don't think any of the doctors understood the full depth of the beauty of the heart of Chaim Yisachar. A Jewish heart the ideal of a Jewish heart. Someone once came to the Belzer Rebbe, was complaining about they weren't feeling well. They had gone to the doctor. So the Belzer Rebbe asked him, what did the doctor say? You went to the doctor, what was the report? And the doctor said, my heart's not very good. And the Belzer Rebbe said back to this chassid, he said, what does a non-Jewish doctor know about a Jewish heart? Well, the doctors understood the heart of Mark Steven, but they didn't understand the heart of Chaim Yisachar. They didn't understand that the heart corresponds to Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which is the center of man's existence, and it pumps forth an endless amount of life to all of the organs. There's no way we can understand that. And it's true by every Jew. Right? The depths of a Jew's inner connection, that emunah that resides at the core of who a Jew is, there's no way for us to wrap our mind around that, to fully get that. It becomes the entirety of the Torah, those few words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Or Gedaliah describes in source number 12, an idea that's found in Rashi already. In the second line he says, Rashi comments, Kol Taryag Mitzvos Bechlal Aseres HaDibros. You read through the Aseres HaDibros and you find a reference to all 613 mitzvos. It's all found within it. Rabbeinu Sadia Pirish Bazharos, Rav Sadia Gon writes in his Sefer, Sheyisad Lechol Dibor V'Dibor Mitzvos HaTulios Bo. He goes through each of the 10 Dibros and he identifies all the other mitzvos that are connected to it. But says the Or Gedaliah, Sha'anochi Hashem Elokecha Nichlal Kol HaMitzvos HaSei. Those three words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, encompasses all of the mitzvos HaSei. The same way the heart encompasses all the organs of the body. Uvelo Yi'alecha Nichlal Kol Elos HaSei. And in that second utterance of God, Lo Yi'alecha Elohim Acherim, don't have other gods, we find the reference to all the mitzvos Elos HaSei. This is an idea already found in the Rishonim. And continues the Or Gedaliah, where it's bolded, Uve'eis Sha'adam Osa Mitzvos HaSei, Asher Kol Mitzvos HaSei, who is Karvus La'bore. When a Jew does a mitzvah saseh, and he reminds himself that what does it mean? Why am I shaking a lulav? Why am I putting on tefillin? Every mitzvah saseh is to bring us closer to our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'tachlis kol ha-mitzvos hu lekari v'adam leboro, kamo she'isa b'zohar kadosh. And the root of every mitzvah, the reason God said wear tefillin is because I want to be close to you. The reason God said eat kosher is because I want to be close to you. The reason Hashem said every single mitzvah is because I want to develop a relationship with you. The Taryag mitzvahs are called by the Zohar the Taryag itin, pieces of advice to get us to this one central point of clinging to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When we recognize that, we understand where it comes from. It all comes from those words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And Or Gedaliah concludes with a beautiful vart, a beautiful proof to this idea. Kamo she'isa b'sifrei chasidus, an explanation of the pasuk that introduces the Aseres HaDibros. Vayedaber Elokim es kol hadvar me'ila lemor. Hashem spoke all of these things saying, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. You know what kol hadvar me'ila? You know what this is all about? Say the svarim, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. This is really all about one thing. It's about getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every mitzvah with all of its details is about getting close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I think I could say it very openly. If Chaim was able to encourage me, he would say, go for it, Rabbi. You know, he'd always push me to say more radical things. So I'll say it like we should hear it. I think it's a very true thing. The Or Gedaliah is telling us very openly, maybe he's not saying it so openly, but what I think the Or Gedaliah wants to tell us is that if a person has this, if he gets this, if we get this, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, if we understand this Amunah factor that lies at the core of who we are, then everything's going to make sense. And everything's going to work. And if Chas V'Shalom, we don't have this, if we're missing this fundamental, this basic point of what it means to be a Jew, then Chas V'Shalom, we're left with nothing. My brother used to say a vart on Pesach. You know, we say Pesach Matzu Mar. So my brother, Abdavidol, used to like to say, he says a vart, Pesach Matzu Mar. Pesach matzah, if you skip over matzah, what does matzah represent? Matzah is the food of Amunah, the Zohar calls it. Pesach matzah, if you skip over the matzah, your life is going to be a life of mar. Pesach matzah mar. But if you have Amunah, if a person lives with the Rabbono Shalom, if he believes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is calling the shots, then you have everything. Klausenberger Rebbe, many years ago in the 1970s, told an amazing story. He said there were these two tzaddikim who got into a big fight. A big machlokas broke out between them, and one of them felt that he was the more senior authority, so he wrote a letter to the other one saying, who do you think you are to argue with me? And he compiled a list, which he wrote at the Hayadata, do you know? And he put together this whole list. Do you know all the letters of Shas? Because I do. Do you know every Rashi in all of Shas? Because I do. Do you know the seven wisdoms of the universe? Because I do. He made a list of these 70 things, showing off his intense knowledge. And this other Rav wrote back to him. He said, I'll be honest. I'm not ashamed to admit, I don't know all these things that you know. But there's one hayadata that I think I know maybe a little bit better than you. And that's v'yadata yom v'shevos elavecha ki Hashem hu elokim b'shamayim yima'al v'al aretz mitachas einod. He says, do you know that hayadata? Do you know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're so impressed by all of your wisdom and all of your knowledge and all of the things you've acquired of this world. He says, but do you know hayadata? Do you know what it means to have the Rabbono Shalom at the center of the universe? Do you live with that? Baal Shem Tov spent his whole life attaining such greatness, and yet he would always tell his students, I gave away all those madregos. Despite everything that I had attained, I always came back to the simplistic emunah. I always wanted to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with emunah pshuta, because that's what it's really all about. And I think with that we can explain a Rashi that maybe we think about this time of year. I'm getting ready to hear the Aseres Hadibros. We'll hear the famous psukim that I read, Mir Tzashem and Shavuos. And in Source 15, Rashi tells us that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to speak to Klal Yisrael, what does he say? He says everything in one shot. Hashem said everything in one utterance. At first he blasted us with everything in one single breath. No person could say such a thing, and I would suggest no person could understand such a thing. Why did Hashem do that? Why did Hashem want to include everything in one shot when he kicked off the Aseres Hadibros? When he described Kol HaTorah Kula in one breath, what was the idea? The idea was Hashem was saying to us that it really is all about one thing. It really, at the end of the day, it comes down to a single thing. If you have the emunah, then you have everything. And if you don't understand that Anochi Hashem Elokecha, if you haven't responded to that call, then you're left with absolutely nothing. It's so simple. Such a simple idea, but we forget it all the time. And I think Chaim Yisachar's legacy is getting us back on track with that. Chaim came to teach this community and many communities what it means to live with emunah, to live every second of your life with emunah pshuta. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do anything that He wants in an instant. I said at the beginning of this year, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, you needed to have something in the center before you could build everything around it. Chaim decided to build us and to create for us that object that we could have in the center. Something that, before we go off and each person with their own flag, waving their own degel, something that every single Jew could relate to. Chaim's father said many times at the Shiva house, he told the story how Chaim came up with the idea of the magnets, the Amunah magnet. He's out on the road and he saw these different magnets. I'm sure many of us have heard the story. And he saw magnets for sports teams and for different yeshivas and different schools and different organizations and camps. And Chaim said, wouldn't it be so beautiful to have a magnet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Who could argue on such a magnet? Who wouldn't want to support such a magnet? Right? Regardless of your political views or your hashkafa, right? More to the right, more to the left, this is something that every single Jew could proudly put on his car. It's that Mishkan, it's that Lev, it's that Amun, it's that Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It was so perfect, he understood it so clearly, and he articulated it so beautifully. We have to be proud of that. It's something that Chaim couldn't understand. Why don't people talk about this? Why is this missing? Why isn't the community talking more about a Kaddish Baruch Hu? Why is this such a foreign thing? You know, say order 200 magnets, and before you knew it, the 200 magnets were very well received by this community. So I guess people felt, yeah, we could talk a little bit more about the Rabbono Shalom. And I think again, you know, if I can, I'm giving mussar, but I think Chaim's right. I think this community could use a little more talk about the Rabbono Shalom. That's not my statement. I'm not going to put the burden on Chaim, right? But I think this, you know, the Tinek Bergenfield, the modern Orthodox YU community, turned to one of the Gedolim in their world, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein is certainly a person, the son-in-law of the Rav, someone who certainly is respected in these communities. And he writes very beautifully in Source 16. He says, describing the danger of the modern Orthodox community. Now this is not some outside source, you know, looking in and criticizing, right, so to speak, our community. But this is someone who's at the helm of our community, reflecting on what we can work on. What is the danger lurking at the door of this community? Of what does it need to be particularly wary? Because its inclination lies in that direction. What's the problem? What are we missing? What seems a little bit off? I believe that the sin lurking at the door of the centrist Orthodox or religious Zionist community, the danger which confronts us and of which we need to be fully aware, is precisely the danger of shechicha, where you forget something. What are we forgetting? Continues Rav Aaron, where it's bolded. Unfortunately, however, it is very, very susceptible. Our community is very susceptible to extended kfira or shechicha, lacking the imminent sense of God felt so deeply, keenly, and pervasively in other parts of the halachically committed Jewish world. The centrist Orthodox community is one to which the danger of distance from God, the 18th century danger, the danger of a certain spiritual hollowness, of apathy, of pushing God off into the corners, is indigenous and endemic. Hey, Rav Aaron is saying, we have to be confident to talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't allow HaKadosh Baruch Hu to slip off into the corners and lose ourselves in the intellectual pursuit of Torah and wisdom of the world. And Rav Aaron is so right. He's so right. How many of us feel, you know, that our discussions, our serious discussions about the Baruch Shalom stopped in first and second grade? Right? I think a lot of people feel that way. This is something that Chaim talked about all the time, getting it back into the schools. That it should be something that we talk about in first grade, and second grade, and third grade, and fourth grade, and fifth grade. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves you. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is interested in you. It's so true, this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been left on the side. Rav Menachem Mendel of Premishlan used to say, Torah Hashem Tamima Meshivas Nafesh. And he said somewhat jokingly, but it's not a joke at all. Torah Hashem Tamima. We study all sorts of wisdom. We study all sorts of Torah. But the Torah of Hashem is Tamima. It's untouched. It's as if no one has ever engaged in it. How come no one's ever stopped to explore this? Right? But this is, again, this was the wake-up call of Chaim. So he decided to order more magnets. He got another 1,000, and those were gone. So we got another 2,000. This week, I was helping to arrange. The magnets should go to Atlanta. The magnets should go to Detroit. There's not going to be a place in America, or in Eretz Yisrael for that matter, maybe hopefully around the world eventually, where you're not going to see this magnet. This is, so to speak, the Mishkan, the thing that unifies Klal Yisrael. It's a tremendous thing. And again, it's something that, you know, that everyone can agree on. Whether you're in Lakewood, where there are magnets, or whether you're in Teaneck, where there are magnets, or whether you're in Eretz Yisrael, where there are magnets, right? It's getting out there. The message is getting out there. And it's our job to continue to spread that message. The Chaim totally got it. I think we all understand that Chaim totally got the message. He understood what this generation needed. He spoke in the past about how every generation has its mitzvah. Every generation, so to speak, has its mitzvah that it needs to work on. So there's a lot of discussion in different sfarim. What is the mitzvah of our generation? Nesivos Shalom says the mitzvah of our generation is chinuch habanu, right? To educate our children, to educate ourselves. Others point to other aspects of Avodas Hashem that need to be worked on. The Chazon Ish, who lived not that long ago, was once visited by a fellow from England. And this fellow, on his way back to England, asked the Chazon Ish, what should I tell the people of England? What does one of the Gedolei Ador want to issue? What do we need to be working on? The entire world is waiting to hear your statements. The Chazon Ish, what do we need? What's lacking in our times? Says the Chazon Ish to this fellow from England in source number 18. The Chazon Ish initially quotes that Noah was a tzaddik b'dor Yosef. He was a tzaddik because he understood his generation. So says the Chazon Ish, I'll tell you what you should tell the people of England. Go tell the Jews of England that the challenge of our generation is to strengthen ourselves in Emunah and Hashem. Chaim totally got that. And he wanted every other person on this planet to get that message. He wanted every person to get that message. Someone once came to the Kodesh Tzur Magid. His home had been robbed. He was left with nothing. He comes to the Kodesh Tzur Magid crying, begging him. He says, please, Rebbe, give me a bracha that my stuff should be returned, that the thief should ditch it on the side of the road. I should be able to recover my possessions. So the Kodesh Tzur Magid says, I don't know. And he puts down, this fellow puts down a gold coin as a pidyon to the Rebbe. No, Rebbe, give me a bracha. Rebbe says, you know, one gold coin, right? I need a little more. Okay, guy digs into his wallet. At this point, this is all he has left. I mean, his house was robbed. He's left with nothing but these few dollars in his wallet, a few coins in his wallet. He puts three down on the table. At this point, his wife is, you know, elbowing him. Like, what are you doing? The Rebbe's trying to rip us off. The Rebbe says, 60 gold coins. 60 gold coins. I don't have anything left. Puts 10 on the table. The Rebbe's not budging. Rebbe, give me a bracha. I'm giving a nice donation to tzedakah, to the Rebbe, to the yeshiva, whatever. Give me a bracha that I should get my stuff back. 30 gold coins, 40 gold coins, 50 gold coins. Kodesh Tzur Magid's not budging. 60 coins on the table. At this point, this fellow's wife says, this is ridiculous. She scoops up the entire pile of coins and she says to her husband, what do we need this for? Well, Hashem can give us back all our stuff without this rebbe. And the Kodesh Tzur Magid says, exactly. Now you get it. Now you totally get what I was trying to do. Right? You don't need me. If you put all your faith in me, my bracha is worthless. But if you understand that I'm just a conduit, I'm an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could bring about that miracle for you, can make it happen for you, and everything else around that's working to make that happen is just an extension of Him, then you get it. HaKadosh Magid says, take your money, leave that first gold coin. You have to give a pidyon, you have to give something. Leave that first gold coin, but the rest of them, I take it. Now I'm ready to give you a bracha. Chaim was so happy when people were getting it. And Josh Aaron bought a bunch of laser Brody CDs, put in the box with the Emunah magnets. Chaim was so happy. People were getting it. It's not just, you know, don't just leave this for Chaim to do. Join with him. Spread Emunah. Talk to people about it. Talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To get it out to the community. Because he wanted people to taste what he was living. It's tzadik b'emunah so yichya. The Gemara says at the end of the day, Habakkuk comes and he sums up the entire Torah in one sentence. Habakkuk says, "V'tzadik be'emunaso yichya." A tzadik lives by his emuna. What does it mean to live by your emuna? So Rav Gifter used to say, in source number 19, Rav Gifter would describe the way that he had heard this idea from one of his rabbeim, Rav Matl Pogromansky. A tzadik eats, drinks, walks, talks, and breathes emuna. What does it mean, yichya? Yichya means to live. What do we do to live? We eat, we drink, we walk, we talk, we breathe. A tzadik be'emunaso yichya. He eats emuna. He breathes emuna. He drinks emuna. He talks emuna. He walks emuna. And I think it was so true for Chaim. I saw Chaim these last number of months. He wasn't eating much. He wasn't drinking much. He certainly wasn't walking much. At a point it became difficult to talk. And you had to wonder, you had to look at him in his very sad state. Obviously with a huge smile across his face, but you felt horrible for me. You almost couldn't understand, how is he surviving? What's he living off of? He's not eating, he's not drinking. It's difficult to breathe, it's difficult to talk. What was he surviving on? Tzadik be'munaso yichya. The tzadik lives by his emunah. He was eating emunah, he was drinking emunah. He was breathing emunah, he was talking emunah. Every little bit of strength that he had left, he was channeling it towards Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And the job that now falls upon us is to do exactly what Chaim wanted us to do. Right? To get this message and to spread it to every other person on the planet. Not just the magnets, not just to get it out there in a general sense, right? But to get it in here, to get it into our hearts, which is, again, where it emanates from. Chaim spent his time becoming proficient in the language of Emunah. And the language of Emunah is the language of the heart. Sfasemis had a son-in-law, the Bendina Rav. We have Svarim from him, Halacha Svarim, Drush Svarim. And he writes a beautiful idea that he heard in his Drush L'Shabbos Shuvah. He writes a beautiful idea that he heard from his grandfather. In source number 20, in the Yichahein Pa'er, it's the name of the Bendina Rav Svarim, he says, "I heard from my grandfather, it's bolded, ki ingli mavin rak lashon English v'kadom." An Anglo, an Englishman, understands the language of English. Kein lev mevin rak lashon lev. But the heart, so too, the heart only understands the language of the heart. Chaim understood the language of the heart. The language of Emunah is the language of the heart. Like the Kotzker Rebbe once said about his own son, Rav David, he said, "My son is a baki in chovas halavavos. He's an expert in the obligations of the heart." And I'm not talking about the printed version. I'm talking about the sefer that we have on our shelves called chovas halavavos. He's a baki in the language of the heart. He's an expert in what it means to serve a Kodesh Baruch from the depths of our heart. So I can assure everyone here, I hope everyone will, I know people are mishtatef in this, but the Emunah campaign will go on. The Emunah campaign has been successful, will continue to be successful. We're going to order thousands more magnets, and that literally there will not be a place on planet Earth that a Jew goes where he doesn't see Chaim's magnet hanging off the back of someone's car. Literally around the planet. And I guarantee that it has been successful, and I guarantee it will continue to be successful. And that guarantee comes from the tefillah that we say every single Shabbos in Source 22. V'chol misha oskim b'tzarchei tzibur be'emunah. A person who is involved in tzarchei tzibur be'emunah. What does that mean, tzarchei tzibur? Tzarchei tzibur means he comes to shul, he sets up the chairs, he's involved in things in the community. What does it mean to be osik in tzarchei tzibur be'emunah? I come to shul a few minutes early and I put away the siddurim that are lying around. I'm osik in tzarchei be'emunah. What's the emunah? I think the pshat is, you know, sometimes a person tries to bring something to the community. And he's not sure if it's going to work. You know, we all have different ideas, different things we want to, projects we want to start, different things we want to create. What does it mean to be osik b'tzarchei tzibur be'emunah? It means to be involved in communal projects with the emunah, with the confidence that it's going to work. And all the more so in the case where you're osik b'tzarchei tzibur, when the avoda that you're trying to bring to the community is dafka the avoda of emunah. To be osik b'tzarchei tzibur be'emunah, to teach emunah to people. That's Chaim's mission. That's what he set out to do. Says the end of the tefillah. What's going to happen in such a case? HaKadosh Baruch Hu yishalem secharam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself guarantees that this will work. He guarantees that this will be successful. V'yishlach bracha v'atzlacha b'chol ma'aseh yadayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that everything that you do to spread emunah, to be osik b'tzarchei tzibur, to encourage the community at large, the world at large, to be involved in emunah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it upon himself, the guarantee of yishlach bracha v'atzlacha b'chol ma'aseh yadayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes it upon himself. The job is for us to finish what Chaim wasn't able to finish. I think we all feel and we all know it. There's a big obligation that rests upon us. It's a privilege, it's an achrayis that rests on our shoulders to carry out what Chaim wanted to do. We beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the Yom Noram. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we call him Zachreinu L'chaim Melech Chafetz V'chaim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, grant us life. Give us a little more time. We'll do something meaningful with it. And Chaim loved to quote from the Kabrina Rebbe, The Kabrina Rebbe is one of the founders of the Slonim dynasty. In source 23, the Kabrina would explain Zachreinu l'chayim, melechafetz b'chayim, le'eza chayim anu mevakshim. What are we begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu for? The Aseret Yemei Teshuva over and over, Zachreinu l'chayim, melechafetz b'chayim. Zachreinu l'chayim, remember us for life, explains the Kabrina, l'chayim shemelechafetz b'chayim. We're asking for a life where the melech is chafetz b'chayim. Asher b'chol chiyoseinu nachpos es ha-melech. Zachreinu l'chayim, give us life, you know why? Because melech chafetz b'chayim. Because we desire to know the melech. We want to live to get to know you better, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we commit ourselves to that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that's a life worth living. That's a life that's worth extending. Again, for whatever reason, we have no idea why Chaim wasn't able to continue this mission. But he left the mission for us. He opened our hearts, he opened our minds, he opened our everything about us. He opened us up to this project, to continue this mission of spreading Emunah to the world. And the greatest tragedy in my mind, one of the biggest tragedies would be if, God forbid, we didn't finish this job. Chaim's father said many times, Chaim was very worried that he'd get better and everyone would just go back to their old ways. We have such an achrayus upon ourselves to continue this avodah. Such a big responsibility that rests on our shoulders to continue the mission that he wasn't able to continue. The Mariamis writes in Source 24, Shavuos, one of the greatest holidays, arguably the greatest holiday in the calendar year. HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens up our hearts. We hear the cry of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing it in Shemayim that in a few days we're going to hear Anochi Hashem Elokecha. And we have to decide if we're makabel it upon ourselves. Kabbalah Satorah. And Moshe Rabbeinu is told to tell Klal Yisrael, V'kidashtem hayom u'machar, in Source 24. Make today holy and the next day. Says the Imre Emes, says the Gareb, you know what the greatest danger in the world is? Kishabala adam kedusha. When we're excited about something, when we're awakened to something, when we taste a little bit of kedusha, tzarech liros shetishar etzlo b'kviyas hayom u'machar. It's very easy to be excited about it right now. What's going to be machar? V'kidashtem hayom u'machar. The response to Kabbalah Satorah is to say, Hashem, I'm prepared to sanctify today, and I will do it tomorrow, and I will do it the next day, and I will do it for the rest of my life. I take that responsibility upon myself. And he goes on to explain, says the Imre Emes, this is what Yirmiyahu was lamenting, the fact that in Yoshiyahu's generation, they were trying to get rid of all the Avodah Zarah in the world. And what people would do in their sneaky ways, in their false, conniving, sinister ways, they would etch Avodah Zarah into the back of their doors. So when the thugs would come around trying to uproot Avodah Zarah from the land, they would swing open the doors and they'd say, no Avodah Zarah in here. The Avodah Zarah was closed behind the door. As soon as they would leave, they'd close the doors and the Avodah Zarah returned. Says the Imre Emes, when a Navi comes, when a Tzaddik comes, when a person gives you a message and he knocks open those doors and he gets rid of the Avodah Zarah, it's our job to keep those doors open, to keep the openings of the lave open. Because God forbid, if those doors close, the Avodah Zarah is right back where we're right back where we started and the Avodah Zarah returns to his place. So Mir Tzashem, we should all have the strength. Like we said earlier, Kadosh Baruch Hu li babai. Kadosh Baruch Hu desires our hearts. Kadosh Baruch Hu desires the Anochi Hashem Elokecha that corresponds to the lev that resides at the center of man. The Mishkan within ourselves. The Mishkan upon which all of Klal Yisrael is gathered. Standing around, right, uniting around this campaign to spread Emunah to the world. And Mir Tashem, we should be Zocha to build that Mishkan once again. To build that Mikdash. And I'll end with the final source, the Binas Yisrael. A relative of the Piazetz Rebbe, a sefer that I bought for Chaim many years ago on Hanukkah, and he writes in the Haggadah Shel Pesach. One of my greatest memories of Chaim, playing music with Chaim, was going down the streets of New York City on the YU float. Such a good memory. We were playing Ad Yirhu, even the bass of a Karov. People lined up on the sides of the street of New York City, right? People chanting, cheering with us, even the bass of a Karov. Says the Binas Yisrael in the final source, Midayik Balashon Beso. It's Beso. It's his house. Velo Amar Yivna Beis HaMikdash. Doesn't say we're just going to build a Beis HaMikdash. The third and final Beis HaMikdash, which Mirz Hashem will see very soon, is Beis Sah. It's only going to come when people know it's his house. When people recognize, Anokhi Hashem Elokecha. where people understand that it's the Emunah, that it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's house. It's not just a Mishkan, it's not just an empty building, but it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's house. And when we do that, he says, we'll be zochet to see the binyan shel eis shalas. And he says, that's why it's in Beisa. So Mirtz Hashem, we should all try again to recognize, to help build a Kadosh Baruch Hu's house. Every magnet that we put on the back of our cars and every bit of Emunah we take into our hearts, we put another brick into HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Beisa. Mirtz Hashem, we should be zochet to see the coming of Mashiach. B'kar b'yameinu.